Okay, start over again? Okay. Start the tape. Okay. So we left off yesterday discussing the sugya of Gomus Hadassah Asir Lechol. There are really two different Gemaras. There was one Gemara Brachas, one Gemara Psachim. And one Gemara seems to use the Lashon of, I think we had a few possible Lashonos. But the conclusion of the Gemara is the only thing that really matters to create the Gemara Suda is the Tilas Yadayim, is Ma'am Acharonim. And the Gemara Psachim seems to be talking a different language. It's using a much a softer tone of a miras, havam v'nivorech, as accomplishing a similar goal. So we saw at the end of the Shia yesterday, there were two different approaches to how to resolve these two sugyas. So Tosfos took the approach that they're both right. They're both equally true. Either one of the two can constitute a possible gomar esudo. So, with all the ramifications thereof, i.e. osalecho, which we're not exactly sure what that means, but osalecho, but to be determined as the Shia goes on. But then at the end of the Shia, we point out that the Talmid de Rabbeinu Yonah quote a very, very different approach. The Rabbeinu Yonah understands that they're two different terms because they're talking about two different types of quote-unquote achila slash shtiyas. Our Gemara is talking about what is the cutoff point for an achila, and the Gemara in Psachim is talking about what is the cutoff point for shtiyah. Now, we are very, very indebted to the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah for offering us this distinction because it takes a lot of heat off of the Shem Ben Shetach story. We pointed out during Shia yesterday that Tosfos got into a little bit of a pickle, the Shem Ben Shetach story. Every time I get to the story, I have the same problem. I find it so fascinating that here we're talking about the Roschim in the middle of a civil war and Lot Bechoma killed, and we're trying to figure out who in the world is a Mechubah Dover and who in the world is considered to be a Gemar Suda. Very, very fascinating context historically. But again, another time, another place. So Tosfos made the observation yesterday that the Shem Ben Shetach story doesn't seem to fit into the rules of Gomus Hadassah. In light of the fact that the Gemara tells us that in order to be mitzvah for a zimun, you have to join the group before the meal's over. If the meal's over, if the game's over, it's over. So according to Taisa's understanding that a havlan v'nevorech ends the game, bein fi achila, bein fi shtia, so the Shem Ben Shetach story, when they're scrounging around looking for someone who is still alive to lead the benching, that should be the halach equivalent of a havlan v'nevorech, and that should disqualify Shem Ben Shetach from joining the group. And that's not the case. The Ma'aseh Shem Ben Shetach didn't join the group. He actually was mighty. Everybody didn't have Zemazah. So we said at the end of the Shia yesterday that's a very, very hard read, that Gemara. We weren't the only ones to think it was a hard read. Taisa said it was a hard read. What did Taisa say? Taisa threw the hands up. What did they say? Yeah, it was for two. Shem Ben Shetach. It's bad enough the Gemara says. Hard enough for us to understand. The Gemara says Shem Ben Shetach Moshalekhi Halacha. Taisa says he was 0-2. He was wrong Lahalacha about sufficient to be mighty somebody with less than a kazayas. Now Taisus adds on, and he says that he was also incorrect because since Apidin, the Suda was over, he really had no right to participate in that Zibin altogether. So we said that according to Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, everything reads much smoother. According to Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, Amir's Havon V'Nevarach does not prevent you from eating. It may prevent you from drinking, but it doesn't prevent you from eating, and therefore the whole question of Taisus didn't get off the ground. So we appreciated the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah's teretz because it did put a little bit of a better spin, an easier spin on the Shem Ben Shetach story. But as we pointed out at the end of the Shia yesterday, it's kind of hard to understand. It almost seems a little bit arbitrary that Achila Zazoi and Shtia Zazoi. So the reason why we probably have trouble with that is because this whole image of, sitting around and, on the Persian couches, the Roman, bathtubs, and the whole image of eating in this way, of what's an official Gemara Hasuda, not a Gemara Hasuda, people sitting around drinking and ending, and somehow this whole thing doesn't, we can't even envision these things. So Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says, I'm telling you, that's the way it is. That when people are sitting around eating a meal, though it ain't over until the Tilas Yadayim. Nothing until the Tilas Yadayim. That's it. Tilas Yadayim is the end of an achila. Havlan v'nevorech is the end of a shtia. It doesn't sit right. Sounds foreign to us. Yeah, this whole sugya sounds very, very foreign to us. It's hard for us to pinpoint why one should be one way, one should be the other way. But we're going to trust the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah that psychologically people don't end the suda until X. People do end the shtia with Y. So at the end of the day, whether we understand or don't understand the reason for the chiluk, we do have a major machlokes tais the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah really presenting through the sugyas. Ultimately, our brachas and psachim say the same thing, or brachas and psachim really saying different things.
Is it possible to answer the reason why why the wine is different. Like what we were saying a few seconds ago about how wine is the involved in other mitzvos, or the bracha of Hagafen is like a special bracha nature.
I mean, we know that Hagafen and Gafen is a special bracha. Why that should impact what psychologically people are going to daita, but not, it's hard to understand. It's hard for me to understand. I don't know. Yeah.
He's saying because of that, not like part of the Suda.
I'm not sure. Tamir Rabbeinu Yonah said it. I don't understand it. Kashal Maisa. I don't understand. I'm not sure. I don't understand. So, Baisai. Comes the Rambam. I didn't put the Rambam on itself. I put the Bi'alocha that makes reference to the Rambam on the Rambam Kormus, the seventh in the Rambam Kormus. Comes the Rambam and says, a person sitting down eating a meal, gomor b'daitoi, and he has in mind that he's done, he finished, and then he changes his mind. Zok the Rambam, tzorech v'chezu b'varech. You have to make a new bracha, even though you didn't move places. Just the Mia Gorbadite was enough to kick in as a Heschadas, and the game is over. You have to start off from scratch. I've kind of been Rambam. So the Rambam is startling because the Rambam sounds like he's against the Gemara. He sounds like he is in sync with the beginning of the Sugya brachas, but not at all with the conclusion of the Sugya. Because although the Gemara did talk about Gomar at the beginning, the Gemara spoke about Gomar Osam Elechol. Then the Gemara spoke about the Sheman and the Tachin the Meshkel, all the different things. Silcha Shulchan. The Gemara concluded the late Silchas of Chol Hadish Maisa. The Gemara rejected all of the above. So whereas the Rambam seems to bring back some of the above back to life, the Rambam is talking the language that the Gemara seemed to reject. So what is Pshat in this Rambam? So it is clear as day. The Bir Alocha already makes reference to it, and already knows before the Bir Alocha realized it. In the bottom of the Rambam, the Sefer Migdalos, where the Rishonim wrote Perushim of the Rambam, already made this observation that the Rambam's Gomar is not at all the Gomar of Chazal. The Lashon of the Rambam was Gomar Belibo. It's the same Shoresh, Gimel Mem Reish, but it means a totally different story. Gomar of Chazal, that which the Gemara thought at the beginning of the Sugya, that the person ended the meal, it doesn't mean that he formally had in mind, Hini Mucham Zuma, the game is over, I'm done, I'm getting ready to bench now. None of the above. It just means that they served the last course. Gemara. The last dessert came out, the last piece of cake at Hamatashi came out, and that's it, the meal's over. What are they doing at that point? They're sitting around, twiddling their thumbs, they're singing Mosbiris, they're schmoozing, singing over the Devei Torah, and maybe not, more food's going to come out, no one really thought about it. That's called Gomer HaSeuda, and that's what the Gemara thought at one point, at the beginning of the Sugya, that necessitates a new bracha, and the concept that's Chadash. And it's to that that the Gemara rejected and said, Leisuch HaZechol HaNishimaisa. However, the Rambam is talking a different language. The Rambam is talking about the language of Gomer Belibay. Gomer Belibay means that he had in mind, he formally had in mind, I'm done, I'm finished. Gomer Gomelik, Gomer by the Dar. Gomer Belibay Tzach Shalatz Fasav. Gomer Belibay by Hektesh means that there's a full Gemiras Das, there's a full, complete, total decision that I'm not going to eat anymore at this meal. I am stuffed to the gills. Adkar, it was my third piece of cake, Gamarnu. That's called Gomer Belibay. So the Rambam says, Avad the Gomer Belibay is called Heschadas. What's the Makor? Vishtate, that's the Gemara Suda. Vishtate, that's called Heschadas. What does the Rambam say? I don't need to be Shtate anywhere. So it's obvious. The double portion of Golden Mizah, says the Rambam. The Gemara is trying to figure out all kind of different things that may or may not be indicative of the fact that the meal is over. So the Gemara had different possibilities, and the Gemara rejected it, said, until Shadayim, that's a good one. Because then the Gemara has him Sochem, Mahavlov, and Avarch. So the Rambam says, I got an easier one. It's really over. When you decide it's over, it's over. That's Eilichel Gemara Shud, the Golden Mizah. And therefore the Rambam says, I don't need a Gemara to tell me that. It's Svar Pshuta, Lamli Kros Svaro. It's a Pasha to Svaro. Of course, that's considered to be the Gemara Shud. So the bottom line is that we have multiple possible manifestations of Gemara Suda. The Gemara had a few that were rejected. The Gemara is one that we accept. The Gemara Brachas has another one. The Gemara Pesach has another one we possibly accept. We have a Rambam. We have a lot of different nuances of Yon and Tosfos where they do apply, they don't apply. But Kuliyama Leplingi, there is such a concept of an end of a meal which would necessitate a new Bracha. And now we really get to the major part of our Sugya, which we alluded to very quickly yesterday. What does that mean that you create Eschadas. And therefore what? Well, the first half of the sugya is defining what is and what is not Eschadas. And the second half of the sugya is now taking that which we established to be Eschadas, and now what? Where do we go from here? What do you have to do and not do once you experience Eschadas? So this is where it gets very, very tricky. Because the Lashon HaGemara was both here in Maseches Brachos and Maseches Pesachim was a Lashon of Osir. The Gemara says, Lo Sova Lamar Gomer Osir Vilecho. When Pesachim came with the Amisa Havel of Nirvach Itzruchu L'mishti. So what's meant Osir? What does the Lashon Osir mean? So in Maseches Pesachim, Rashi, on the top of the Rishbam and the bottom, elaborates in Rashi and Maseches Pesachim, both seem to take the Gemara very, very much kipshutai, that also means you can't do it anymore. You can't eat anymore. You can't drink anymore. Why can't I eat or why can't I drink? So I understand that I can't eat or drink without making a bracha, because it was a hetzchadah, so my bracha got killed, my bracha got lost. But why can't I make a bracha and then eat and drink and continue to go on? What's the problem? So Rashi and Shmas can't do that. You know why? Because you are Messiah Das. You are Rashi as a Lashon, you are Messiah Das from the Suda. What does that mean, you are Messiah Das? And therefore what? So there seems to be another halacha that's lurking in the background. We cannot quite pinpoint why this is true, but there seems to be another halacha that's teaching us that once a Suda is officially over, there's only one thing and one thing only that you are obligated right then and there to do. The minute that that Suda is officially over, what do you got to do? Off the bench. We'll have to make a bracha chora. There is no option of, well, once the suit is over, no big deal, I'll just make a new bracha, bring things back to life, and sit around and shmooze for the next hour and a half. No, you can't do that. Hesech Hadas require is the end of the suit. The end of the suit is a mechayim b'chzemaz. B'chzemaz has to follow immediately on the heels of Hesech Hadas. Now, where exactly did the Amoraim get this from? Is there a Mishnah like this? Is there... So how did Chazal figure out that such a concept exists? I'm not sure. But Rashi and the Rashbam took that idea out of the words Asur Lechu Lemishto. Asur Lecho, which the word Asur means literally Asur. So the question is this really correct? Is this really Muskam? The answer is clearly not. There are clearly Rishonim who did not buy into this. And Tosfos themselves raise some very, very serious questions about this. So Tosfos says, Tosfos Maseches Pesachim, the ninth in the Rambam Kolimus. So Tosfos says, let's try to analyze this. Let's try to see what the din is. Is this Chiddush of Rashi and the Rashbam correct? That every time you have Eschadas, so you have to bench right away? So Tosfos starts out, take a look at the ninth in the Rambam Kolimus. So Taisha says that these two sugyas in Brachos and Pesachim that are addressing the issue of Eschadas are not the only examples of Eschadas in Halacha. There's actually a very, very long sugya in Maseches Pesachim, beginning of Rabbi Pesachim, that talks about another potential manifestation of Eschadas, and that's what's called Shini Makum. So here's a question. Let's say a guy makes a bracha, and he's bunching away, eating away, eating away, and then he stops, and he goes outside for a little walk, goes to go daven mincha, and he comes back. So you experience Shini Machum. So there's a big Machlekes Amoraim. There's a three-way Machlekes Amoraim in Maseches Pesachim. What do you do at that point? Is Shini Machum a necessitated new bracha or not? So one opinion in the Gemara is, it's Rabbi Yechon's view, Shini Machum ain't Tzarech Levar. Rabbi Yechon denies the whole parsha. The whole, no such thing as Shini Machum. To such an extent that the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Avri Pesachim, we mentioned this the other day, about Kiddush Bacham Suda. There's a Machlekes Amoraim between Rav and Shmuel, whether we require Kiddush Bacham Suda or not. The Gemara raises the question, there used to be a practice in the days of the Gemara to recite Kiddush in shul. It was an age-old practice. Some shuls still have their practice, but that was the original. The practice was in all shuls in Babel, they would recite Kiddush on Friday night in shul. So the Gemara says, why would they recite in the Kiddush on Friday night? The Gemara says, according to Rav, that you say Kiddush, because in Kiddush, you don't need Kiddush Bacham Suda. So they would say Kiddush, everyone could hear Kiddush. And then the Gemara says, so if everybody heard Kiddush and Shul, so why does everybody go home and make Kiddush again? So he might say, the wives and the kids who didn't quite make it to Shul that Friday night. So according to Rav, when they make Kiddush and Shul, everybody listened, then I wanted to be yemt, and you had to say Kiddush and Shul, that's the mitzvah of Kiddush. That's the mitzvah of the Reis, the mitzvah of the Rabban, and you're good to go, and you're going home, just make Kiddush for your wife. And Shmuel says, that's not all what's going on. Shmuel says that you're not yet to Kiddush, because you require Kiddush b'makom suda. We have the pass like Shmuel, and everyone remember why? Remember we spoke about this earlier this year? Why do you need Kiddush b'makom suda? What was the point of that? We spoke about this a few times.
Right.
What? So the Rashbam quotes two opinions in Pesachim. One opinion the Rashbam says is, because the Karas l'Shabbos Oneg, the Pasuk in Navi describes the Kriyas Shabbos in the same breath as the Oneg Shabbos. So Kriya is the Kiddush, Oneg is the Suda. So you have to have Bishmakam Kriya, it has to be a tzir between the two. Then the Rashbam quotes another answer, is that since Minatari, you don't need Yayin altogether for Kiddush, you only need Midirabbanan, that the Takanas HaChamim was, why do you have to make Kiddush on what? What was wrong with the way it was in the old days? Let's make Kiddush on with words alone. So the idea was, Chazal wanted to make it a little more kavodik. People weren't taking Kiddush so seriously. They like a little bit more mechubadik. So the incentive to do it all like Yayin. Yayin gives a little more significance to it. So the Shbam says that a cup of wine that a guy just grabs, a cup of wine runs out into the street, and that's it. That's not so chosh. That's just grabbing a cup of wine. Make a chosh for wine means you sit down at the meal, at the table, you make a toast. You put your napkin in, you sit down, everyone's around. That's a chashivistic one. So the whole goal was to make it a yayin chashuv. So mamela, the wine has to be a wine that's chashivistic one. I a yayin shibasei chasud, a yayin that leads off to sud. Fine. So the bottom line is that we paskin like Shmuel, that you require kiddush b'makom suda. Therefore, yataka not yetze with kiddush and shul. So why do they make kiddush and shul? So that's what the Gemara says. They make kiddush and shul for whom? For the guests who were eating in shul. Some people didn't have a place to go. They would eat. They would have some food set up in the back for them. So they would eat the meal. So we make kiddush in order to be made to the guests. So that's why a lot of the Rishonim raised the objection. We live in a time, we don't do that anymore. Most guests, either they're invited out for a meal. No one's having a Friday night suud in the back of the shul. So why do we still make kiddush in shul? So many Rishonim said, Takino, you have to stop it. It's a bracha v'tala. And other Rishonim say there was a tachanas hachavim, that the chavim were misakin to make it, and therefore the tachanas is kayemes, even though the reason may not exist anymore, or other reasons possibly. So that's why there are different minhagim and klais, well, today about making kiddush and shul. Fine. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara raises the following question. Let's say a person hears kiddush in shul, and let's say for argument's sake, let's say the guy makes kiddush, the chazan, he makes kiddush in shul, and he makes the bar priag often, and he makes kiddush, and then he drinks a little bit of wine. And now he goes home. So he lives in 3 blocks away. He goes home. Does he have to make another bar priag often or not? So the Gemara says that bein l'Rab, bein l'Shmuel, you have to make another bar priag often. Whether or not you paskin that you are yaitzeh with the kiddush and shul is irrelevant. But l'maisa shenei makom tzorich levarach. You're not in the same place. You walk down the block. So if vad and vad, you have to make another bracha. You don't even have to make your day yayin yotzi. You don't even have to make another bar priag often. So Rabbi Yochanan was the extreme view that there is no din of shini makom v'brachas. Bichlal, no such. There's no such entity called shini brachas. Shish called shini makom. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin there is a problem of shini makom, but there was a further machlekes amarayim. What types of foods create a shini makom kind of a problem? So one opinion in the Gemara was that everything, any and everything. You have a piece of cake and you walk out, you come back and you have to make another bracha. You had a cup of wine, you walk out, you had a piece of challah, you walk out, you come back, you have to make another bracha. Shini makom tzorich levarach legamrei. So we have two extreme views. One extreme was Rabbi Yechon, who says that you never make a new bracha. The other extreme is you always make a new bracha. And then centrist Judaism, right smack in the middle. What's the third opinion? It's the Gemara quotes one opinion that says depends. What does it depend upon? Anyone know? Every son, who lives in 7th grade? You guys learn. Do you guys learn Arab Psalm in 7th grade? What? Who went to Noam? Nobody went to Shiva Noam? Who went to SAR? What did you learn in 7th grade? You don't learn Arab Psalm? No? No? Of course you learned. They were learning Arab Psalm, and you learned Tfilas HaShachar in 6th grade, right?
Yeah.
And you learned Hamafkin in 8th grade, right?
Yeah.
They haven't changed since 1970s. That's what they learned when I was in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. They yeshiva, they keep the schedule, keep the cycle, keep the matzor. Okay. So back in Arab Pesachim, back in Arab Pesachim days, so The Gemara quotes one opinion that says the following chiluk, that if you ate a type of a food that requires a bracha acharona b'mekoma, let's say if a person eats bread, so you have to bench where you ate. You can't have a slice of pizza here and then bench across the street. Well, let's say a person has a piece of cake. So mezainis is davar tar bracha krem b'mekoma. You have a piece of cake here, you can't go across the street and bake an ala michia. But if you eat an apple here, you can make a bird of fashas down the block also, no big deal. So says the Gemara, if you ate bread or mezainis, something that is forcing you to come back, so I never really left. It's holech amenas lachzor. I know I'm coming back anyway because I have to come back. The halacha dictates. The halacha requires me to come back. So the mele, my leaving was never really a complete, total leaving, and it was never really as chadash. But if I had an apple and I go across the street, so what's prompting me to come back? No, I have no need to come back. So mele, I have to now recite a new bracha when I want to continue eating another apple, but didn't eat that apple. So there are three different possibilities. We don't pass it. How do we pass it out of the other two? It's fine. So there's a whole sugya about shiri makom. So in the Braisa that talks about shiri makom, so Tosfos here is commenting, the Braisa says, in the ninth of the Maamar Kamos, let's first read the eighth. I'll read the eighth of the Maamar Kamos first. B'nei chabur asher mesubim lishtos. If a group was sitting together, they were drinking. And then they decide to go out. Why did they go out? For they heard there's a chasana, they heard on Yishama, so they went to go dance with the chasana kala. So listen to Lashon HaBraisa. Kishen yotzin ain't to the bracha l'mafreya. When they leave, they don't have to make a bracha before. Kishen chayzin ain't to the bracha l'chayzin. When they come back, they don't have to make a new bracha. But man, the Braisa just qualifies, I forgot to mention, the small technical detail. The Braisa says, when is that true that they don't have to make a new bracha? Because they left some people behind. So that's for sure not as chadas. They didn't leave anybody. The whole, they had 10 guys sitting around and drinking, and then they hear a chasa, they all march down the street to go dance. So this is what the protocol is. When they leave, they make a bracha before they leave. And when they come back, they make a new bracha. Ad kan devar brais. So what is this Shini Makom? What is Shini Makom accomplishing that's necessitating a new bracha? There's only one thing alone that creates the requirement of a new bracha. What is that? What are the two bad words in Uchas Brachas? Heschadas. So we had Gemaras and Brachas and Psochim talking about at what point is the meal over that creates Heschadas. And now the Gemara is talking a different language, it's Heschadas category 1C. A new type of event that can necessitate Heschadas, that qualifies Heschadas, and that is a Shini Makom. And there are details. So some Amoraim Taka deny the whole din. Some Amoraim say it only applies to certain foods. It maybe doesn't apply to leave people behind. So there are details. There's 1C, B, 2, 9, 6, 7, different klalim. What's necessary to qualify as an official form of Heschadas. But what do you do if and when a Heschadas was experienced? So the Braisa is very, very clear. What does the Braisa say? Read the words. We just read it again. What does it say? Gishen Yaitzin. What do you do? Let's read it all together. Te'unin what? Bracha mafreya, that means bracha achrona. Mafreya means achrona. Kshen chayzin tuin and bracha lechem chilo. It's black and white. The Gemara says whenever you have eschadas, two things kick in. There's a requirement to recite a bracha achrona, and then upon return, there's a requirement to recite a new bracha rishayna. So Tosfos just read the Gemara. That's all Tosfos says in the ninth amount of Gemara. It's mashma heichidi eschadas lo saga shivarach b'chesabaytzi sar shivarach b'chesabozer. B'yim Cain says Tosfos, since it is so clear as day from that Lashon HaBraisa that you have to recite a bracha achrona before you even start, Hada Amar LeKamon came into Amar Havlin Nevorech Itzel Chula Mishtei Hainu What Ad Shivar B'Chzemozun. I mean, you can't just stop make a burpee and go off and drink wine again. You can't do that. Once you said Havlin Nevorech, you have to do what? You have to. You have to bench. Now notice, by the way, who said anything there about what?
No one said to bench.
Did the Gemara say to bench? What did the Gemara say? What did the Gemara just say? What was the Lashon Gemara? It's a lechua lemishtei. So Tosfos added on, by the way, that means that of course you have to bench. You necessitated to have to bench. And if we want to extend Tosfos and say, So we have now two examples Tosfos has addressed of Hetzchadas that necessitate a bracha acharina. One is the Gemara about Shini Makom. One is the Birz Havon Levarich. What do you think the third one is, everybody say? Give me another example that would necessitate two bench Belishim Zafik. What? Tosfos just picked up, this Tosfos is Pesachim, so they're only remembering the Gemara is in Abi Pesachim. So Tosfos is addressing the two examples that appear in Abi Pesachim, one or two blot apart from each other, that are examples of Eschada. So one is Shini Mokum, one is Abir Sabbath of the Bar. What's the third? Brachas, thank you very much, Membez. What? My Mechwarnim, right? Good morning, right? Because Tosfos says it's all the same thing. There's no difference between the two. So we have three Gemaras that talk about activities that qualifies as chadas. One is a shini makom, one is amir saflan nevarich, one is mayim acharonim, and Taiz is saying across the board for all three, the din is osul chulu mishte ad sheyevarich
b'chaz hamazon. Is he saying that you can't drink until you say b'chaz hamazon?
Yeah.
Or is he saying though you can't do anything?
Until you do I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. He's definitely saying you can't drink. Yeah.
What if the Shinoi Makom was only for like a short period of time?
Like, I don't think there's any difference.
Like,
what is this, like, past? I don't think short time is going to change anything. I don't think so. So Rabbi Isai, so Taisa says, Taisa goes on, and Taisa says, you know what? We actually have a raya to Rabbi Isai. Not only is the Lashon HaGemara and Pesachim support our theory, but we have a Rishtagol raya. You know what the raya is? Kesem Avarchim, good morning, Taisa connects our sugya, like we would have expected. Remember the story yesterday? The come a Rav, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Achle. They were eating together. Sliko tachem kamayo. The table was removed. Aisel uristano. They brought them some kind of a dessert. Rabbi Achle, Rabbi Zeir lo achol. Rabbi ate. Rabbi Zeir didn't eat it. Amalei lo savel amar. See like asa bilecho. So Rabbi Zeir returns to Rabbi and says, "What are you doing eating it for? Don't you accept this idea that see like asa bilecho? Amalei ana atachad resh kalusa samichna." So Rabbi responded, I'm relying on the Reish Kalusa's table. So Rabbi got the last word in. But I want to go into the rejected view of Rabbi Zeira. If not for the fact that Reish Kalusa's still table was still intact, so Rabbi Zeira would have been right, that he would have absolutely been required to refrain from eating. That's what he did. He said he stopped eating. What's the discussion? They brought this. Oh, can you imagine the dessert that came from Reish Kalusa's table? I mean, come on. Can you even like think of it? What is that? I don't even know what my wife made. What is it? What kind of cake is it? What?
Yeah, I need it.
What is it?
Chocolate pudding?
Why did you make chocolate pudding? I don't know what it is. Whatever. So, okay, forget it. It doesn't matter. It's just a joke. I know. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. So here, I'm sitting by the Reish Kalus, okay? I mean, this Reish Kalus, he's doing very, very well. Bach Hashem, he's got the Exerlik, he's called in English. You know, he's number two guy to the Persian, you know, king over there. And he's got desserts coming out a mile a minute. And Rabbi Zeira sitting there, all down, because Rabbi Zeira had already, they already cleared up Rabbi Zeira's table. They didn't chop, but Rabbi told them that was still totally on the table of Reish Kalus. And like more mouth-watering desserts are sitting there. Zeira lo achol. Because the shita say, "Gomer also lechol, silek also lechol." When he should have done what? Yeah, a little burn him inside. Just move on and hit the table. Go enjoy the rest of the Vini's table. So the lashon Taisa is bringing a raya for the yisai for the lashon where Rabbi Zeira lo achal, he didn't eat. That means there was no eitzah under the sun for Rabbi Zeira to eat. If the eitzah was simply to make a new berman of his zaynus, why couldn't he do that? That's Taisa's deal. Every line in Chazal, every word, the Balei Taisa, they don't let one word go unmentioned, undiuked. Every single word is a diuk in Taisa. So Taisa says, no, the eishlid chais. Taisa says, you know, all these grandiose rayas that we had, all great, they were all of two rayas. One raya was the Lashon HaGemara of Lemafreya, and the other raya was, in fact, what Zeira didn't eat. Says, Taisa says, yesh lidchais, what can we do? The Taisa Michael Amur Belech, Abel Atech Little Yalavar Chamoitzi. You know, Zeira didn't want to eat. If it would have been a simple, apple crumble or something, a little vanilla ice cream or something, no big deal. He could have made a bracha and call it a day. You know what the problem was? It was don't know, give you some good examples, some good dessert with bread in it.
Bread pudding.
The bread pudding. It was that good old challah pudding coming out of Mrs. Resh Kalusa's kitchen. It was a mouth-watering. So comes Tyson, says that he could have eaten, he could have been a bracha, but it would have been a pain in the neck. We'd have to go over and wash. You think it's all easy to go wash. We'd have to go outside, get a bucket, go back to the well, get water. It's not worth, it wasn't worth the extra calories. So therefore, he held back. But says Tysus, don't be any rayas from Rizera not eating. It's haraya. You're going to be a whole host. You're going to make a whole halacha maisa deal for Rizera's not eating. The only he could have eaten, but he would have been required to make a new bracha, i.e. a new until Shaddai. That was a pain in the neck. Okay, so Tyson is willing to be deich there, right? Then Tyson says, "V'hadikah b'hocha to unim brach lemafreya." Aye, but the brayis is shteped with feirish to unim brach lemafreya. So Tyson says, "Nah, haynu mishum shema yishu milachzor atchiravu." As lo yuch levach b'chamazon. You know the old dvar. Tyson says, "We totally missed the boat on the fact that the brayis says you have to make a bracha chorin. We legamri missed the boat." La'olam says Tyson. You have to make a bracha chorin. In the case of Shirubach, I'm in the middle of eating a meal, like about to say Shirubach, about to go dance by the chasana, says the Braisa, you better make a bracha chorin. You know why? Not because has chadas is a bechai of a bracha chorin. No such thing. You know why? I didn't know how long the dance is going to take. That first dance, you think, oh, how long can the first dance probably be? 10 to 12 minutes, right? And an hour and a half later, they're still dancing. By the time you come back, what's going to happen? Eventually, you know what? The sachar wasn't a mayav. The din is that if you're eating and then X amount of time passes, not clear exactly, the whole sugya is in the Gemara in the eighth prayer, how much time passes, but X amount of time passes, so you can't mention anymore. This happens sometimes in chassidus. The guy, forget shirim akum. I wash, I have a piece of challah, and then an hour and a half till the first dance starts, 3 hours till the first dance is over. It's if I start afflatious, I'm already milchix. It's unbelievable how much time has passed. So that's a problem. So what you have to try to do in those cases is, the did is that if you keep on munching along the way, so that breaks up the... So that's what pickles come in. Because the pickles are really good at chasana. So every 20 minutes, you down that another pickle or so, so then you're good to go. Okay, anyway, back to the story. So, Taisa says, the reason why the Braisa insists that you make a bracha chorin is nothing to do with chadas. It's just a pure technicality. We're afraid you're going to end up missing the benching time. So my nafkamina, Rabbi say, my nafkamina, whether you hold that the reason why the Braisa necessitated reciting bracha chorona is because that's the din, has chadas the bechai of a bracha chorona, or whether it's pure logistical, technical reason to avoid forgetting to bench, what's the nafkamina? It's a huge nafkamina, says Taisus. What's the nafkamina? Let's say I did go out, I didn't follow the din. I didn't bench. I went outside. I come back 20 minutes later. What do I do now? So according to the first pshat in Tosfos, what do I do right now as soon as I come back? It's the first thing I have to do. I have to bench. I can't make another mezainis now and start eating. I can't do that. So I have to bench right away because I experienced that as chadas. I made a mistake by not benching 20 minutes ago. According to the second antithesis, it was just a technicality, logistical issue of making sure you don't overstay your stay outside. Big deal. So I went for 20 minutes. I came back. And sure, I want to have another piece of cake. I'll make a mezainis. And come on, you don't need to bench. So Taisus is not sure. At the end of the day, Taisus is hemming and hawing and back and forth and back and forth. They're not sure what the din is. Is there an independent din called as chadas being mechayev a bracha chorena or not? If it does, we don't really understand it. But Taisus says maybe it does. And Taisus says all the rayas can be doicha. We don't know, says Taisus. And then Taisus makes it about face. Then Taisus comes and says, we've been spending the last 20 minutes bringing you rayas for this newfangled din of making bracha chorena. Now we're going to turn the tables and say it's not true. We're going to bring you a raya that's not true. What's the raya? From the Loshna Braisa. What did the Braisa say? The Braisa says, Kishen Yaitzin to Unim Brachlam Afreya, Kishen Chayzin to Brachlam Afreya. That phrase, Kishen Yaitzin to Unim Brachlam Afreya, sounded like the greatest possible raya that you have to bench when you have Eschadas. The best Taisus could do was to say, nah, it's not really true. You're benching just not to forget to bench. That was like a dicha. That was like a shvach a dicha. This is eilach haraya. This is eilach a gevaldik a shmach haraya. Mamsha, an absolute grand slam. Chain yaitz the rachel mafreya. Taisus turns around and says, "You know what? We're going to bring you a raya from the braisa, the exact opposite. Parash Panafichu, Spirit of Purim, Panafichu. The Lashon HaBraisa is the Raya against what we say. What's the Raya? Listen to Taisus. Everyone read the whole Taisus? Comes to us and says, V'teida, Dimla'olam tu'udim brachal mafreya, ma'yit strich lashmirin shein chosdim brach brachal achil, pshita kevdi li'olam brachal mafreya. Taisus says that if the din would be, we'll play devil's advocate, the din would be that any and every time you go out, you must make a bracha achorana, chayt v'l'yavar. It's inconceivable that you don't make a bracha achorana, and if you went out by mistake without, the first thing you got to do is make another one, is make a bracha achorana. If that's the din that is impossible to conceive of ever doing anything but benching right away, then which part of the braisa is completely and totally superfluous? The braisa says, that means you always bench first. No questions asked. Even if by mistake you forgot to, when you come back, you bench first, bench first, bench first. I need a braisa to tell me, oh, by the way, now that you want to have another piece of cake, I have to make a new bracha. Oh, good morning. I need a braisa to tell me that I finished lunch. I ate lunch an hour ago. I benched it already. I want to have a piece of cake. I need a braisa to tell me I have to make a new bracha. Are you real? You didn't learn bracha? You don't know anything about brachas yet? You didn't go to the brachas being in third grade? If you bench, so you're starting over from scratch. You have to make a new bracha. So says Taisus, Al Korachach, for the fact that the braisa says you have to make a new bracha, that is indicating that you didn't always bench. The braisa is giving you the proper protocol. The proper protocol is, L'chadchila, you should bench before you leave. Why? Because you maybe come back too late. If for whatever reason you didn't, it didn't happen, when you come back, you don't have to bench. But one thing you do have to do, what does the braisa say? When you come back, what's chaykhila yavar? What? Tune in bracha rishayna. You have to make a bracha rishayna. The braisa is talking two different cases. The braisa is first telling you, before you leave, don't forget the bench. You forgot the bench. You didn't read the braisa. You didn't pay attention to 7th grade essay. I forgot that you learned the Avim Psochem. So now the braisa says, okay, good morning, you forgot the bench. When you come back, chach, at least chach, make a bracha rishayna. But according to the first way of reading the braisa, that there's a chayt v'lo yavo, you have to make a bracha achorah no matter what. And if you forgot, you got to stop dead in your tracks and make a bracha achorah no matter where you are. Come right back and make a bracha achorah. No. So it's so silly with the braisa. Says, oh, by the way, after you bench, gee, by God, don't forget to make an olive, don't forget to make a mermaid's on your cake. Good morning. I benched already. So Taisus says, you know, Taka, the braisa that we thought was indicating one way, it's probably more variety the other way. So at the end of the day, Taisus is not absolutely 1,000 convinced one way or the other. But one thing is crystal clear from Taisus. Absolute chayt v'layav, crystal clear from Taisus. There are three manifestations of Eschadas. One is Shinim Machum. One is Amiris Havlon, the Nevarachim Sochim. And one is Mayim Acharanim in Brachas. No matter which ones do or don't, whatever you think constitutes Eschadas, there is an underlying question, an underlying suffix, do Hesach Hadas require bracha achoranis or not? Whatever you think the answer is, that's why Tosfos is mixing and matching. Tosfos is being raised from Membeis and brachas to sugyas and psachim, from psachim to brachas, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, because it's one sugya. It's one question. There are different examples of types of Hesach Hadas, but the underlying question, whether Hesach Hadas is a mechai bracha achorana, is identical throughout all three sugyas. That's clear as day from Tosfos. Everyone realize that? Everyone chop that? That's like chayk for the yah for the Tosfos.
According to that, though, in your second day of
Tosfos,
why is it
Usher Kapiyayim? Who said Usher? According to the second day of Tosfos, it's Mutter. Just make a bracha. Just make a bracha. Usher Chal Mishta means just Usher to drink unless you make a bracha. Parentheses, unless you make a bracha.
Maybe explain the two Sadim of coming back early from the Chasana?
Yeah, a guy didn't do what he was supposed to do. He's in the middle of drinking, and 10 guys are sitting around and drinking. What they're doing that I can't tell you, but 10 guys sitting around and drinking wine. And all of a sudden, they start to hear. So, oh, wait, stop, no, no. Leave a drink. They're eating. Right? 10 guys sitting around eating pizza, they're eating bagels, they're having their whole lunch. All of a sudden, they start hearing sounds from the street. So, what should they do, according to everybody? That's right now. They didn't do that. They got so overwhelmed. They got running out, and they're dancing, sweating up, and they come back 20 minutes later. What do they do now? So according to the first version of Taisus, that Hezchadas necessitated bracha, they got a bench right away. No choice. According to the second day, no, they goofed it, they did an avera. No. They violated the braisa, and the world will come to an end. And right now, just make a new hamayit, make a new alamich, etc. Again, it's assuming that's called shinimachim, according to those opinions. So one thing is, again, crystal clear for Taisus, that the dinim are the same. I don't know what the din is, but the dinim are the same. So come, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. It was Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah that we read yesterday, but yesterday we were only focusing on one part of it. So let's go back for a moment. Backpedal to Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in the fifth in Ramakos. As long as you didn't wash my macharonim, you could still go. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah that said, "V'yafa bishalidin yayin kev shishulik daitim elecho v'amah havam v'varech oslo lishas hashivarech." And the pas ain't okay. But then there's the chiluk that we didn't quite understand: pas versus yayin. Al afa bishishulik daitim elecho. A few sukkah shulchan. Himratz alaslo chilos in tzechel v'varech pabecheres. Shekol shlo notol yodav levorech lo nistalek legam echiras avas. The acha shenotol yodav ain la lishtos. After you washed your hands by mecharonim, you should not drink at all. The film of bracha. Even if you make a new bracha. Sorry, you can't. So, if you would just stop a video and write that in there, why do you think the reason for this din is? Just give you the two words. Because you experienced what? Hezchadas. And therefore, what should Rabbeinu Yonah say about all other examples of Hezchadas? The exact same thing. And therefore, if Rabbeinu Yonah, we don't have Rabbeinu Yonah in Pesachim, but if we did, we would expect him, no doubt, to say that if you experience Shini Machom, you better recite a Bracha Chorona. And if by some mistake you went out to dance and forgot when you come back, the first things words out of your mouth should be a bracha chorna. And therefore, by yayin also, if you said havlam v'nevarech, you want to change gears and go back to drinking, tough luck, you can't do it, you got to bench first. You got to make your bracha chorna first. So that's what I would have expected out of Rabbeinu Yonah. So I'm disappointed. You know why? It's up to Rabbeinu Yonah. Shekevet shenot yadav, because the minute that you wash by bacharonim, yesh levarech. You have to bench right away. You know why? The tekef l'tzil sidayim barucha. That was right out of Agamar. Tekef l'tzil, yeah. You got to bench. Man achronim, the sestate's benching right away. You be Mary Harab, not the achman of Patra. Zoy shteit the Hilgar Rabbeinu Yonah. Zoy shteit the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. That when you wash by achronim, you must follow by achronim with bichas mazon. No ands, ifs, and buts. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't say boo, didn't say a word about hezchadas here. What's Rabbeinu Yonah clearly saying? Against who? Against Tosfos. Whereas according to Tosfos, all the sugyas were all saying the exact same thing. We're just not sure what they were saying. Either they were all saying you have to bench, or they were all saying you don't have to bench. But whatever they were saying in Brachas and Pesach, they were all saying the same thing. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, they're two totally different sugyas. They're different halachas here. There's one sugya called Hezchadas, and I'll give you two examples of Hezchadas in Chazal. One is Shini Makom, and one is, who remembers? What's the other one? Havlan v'nevarech. What was the Lashon HaGemara about Havlan v'nevarech? What was the Lashon HaGemara? As chisu dataychem. The Gemara used the Lashon Hezchadas for Havlan v'nevarech. So Zav the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, when we're dealing with a mere din of Hezchadas, so then Hezchadas, meheichit teise, in a million years, Hezchadas is a mechayev of making a new bracha, a benching. There's no such a law. There never was, never is. In our sugya, there's another halacha playing out under Hezchadas. You know what it's called? Tekef l'tzil yadayim beracha. The minute that you wash by Becharonim, on the heels of by Becharonim comes one thing and one thing alone. Not another piece of cake. And not another cup of wine. Not another hamitash. What comes on the heels of my Becharonim is tekef l'tzil yadayim beracha. And therefore, to make a new bracha and eat more food at that point, that would be a violation of that new halacha called Tekot Islam bracha. That has absolutely nothing to do with what Rabbi said. Then do that to us. That's the new halacha that's playing out in our sugya.
Doesn't Tosfos and brachas also say that's the reason?
Tosfos and brachas.
Which one? Also,
what? Which does it? Does it by us? Also, lechol ad sheyivarech what? Achivarech what? Pirkei Mazon or a new bracha Rishona? Tosis doesn't say a word. Tosis just leaves it hanging. You're probably right. That's Tosis Mantir. Tosis Mzacha for sure wasn't sure. That was the whole 40 line Tosis that we just read. The Rai is back and forth. Tosis earlier on quotes both opinions. Tosis Rabbi Zeira. Teyam lefim Hashem Lord Farshim Oylem Havol Mevorach Asal Mishne Belay Bracha Shalafonav Amayla Wachol. That's exactly what Taizim Sochem said. Taizim Brachas is not sure about that Nakuda. So, Rabbeinu Yonah just threw a curveball at us in terms of it could be that Hezchadas is not a problem, but the Tilsi Yadayim, my Mechronim, is a new problem. So, we really have three possibilities out here now. We have one total extreme that Taizim was trying to say at the beginning of the Surah Pesach before they backpedaled. And that is Hezchadas is a Bechai Berchse Mazel, no matter what, all three cases. Hein Netil Sidayim, Hein Amir Sav Levarech, Hein Shini Mokom. Hezchadas, whatever constitutes in Halacha Hezchadas, each one has to be analyzed, what is and what is not. But if it qualifies as Hezchadas, it's a Bechai Berchse Acharena. That's one extreme. Then you have the other extreme that says, there's no such thing. None of this is true. Just make a new bracha and call it a day. Then you have the third sheet, the sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbi Zai, within the world of Rabbeinu Yonah, that You have to have no choice. You have to bench to fulfill the din of Techev Tzadayim Bracha. How Techev is Techev? What do those words mean exactly? Somebody referenced that before in a question. What has to happen, or what can't happen, between my Mechron and Birchas Hamazon that would be a flagrant violation of this din? So one thing we know can happen, you can't sit down and make a new bracha, it's like eating a whole another piece of cake. That's for sure a violation for Rabbeinu Yonah. Can somebody give me things a little bit less drastic, a little less flagrant than that? Okay. Shmoozing. I washed my mechronim and I'm just finishing up the last tidbits of the conversation. Is that also a violation of Techev Tzadayim Bracha? Not clear. But Rabbeinu Yonah took the tekef to mean that you can't have a bar per eight that need a piece of eat some applesauce now. Rabbeinu Yonah said that would be a violation of tekef tzadayim suda. Rabbeinu Yonah said beferish. So what is and what is not? I'm just posing the question: does the requirement this new dinner called tekef? Does this mean what the regular rules of hefsek are? Usually talking is called the hefsek. So is that what it means? That's also a violation of this, or maybe not? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the rules are. But I'll tell you as follows. This phrase, Techef Netilas Yadayim Baracha, what Netilas Yadayim is it talking about? Obviously. I mean, in context of that Gemara, there's no other way to read it, right? It's obvious. So there are some Rishonim who say, that's true, that in our Gemara it's referring to Maim Echronim, but it may have a dual meaning to it. It may also equally be true for Tekef Tzilas Yadayim, what? Maim Echronim, Bracha. Which Bracha would it be referring to? Bechas HaMotzi. So that's the big Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, that's not what it means. That's not what the Gemara says. There's no such halacha. You made it up. And other Rishonim say, no, that's all Nichol, it's all... Here the Gemara is quoting it vis-a-vis Mayim Echaronim, but it's equal to the Gabi Mayim Rishonim. So what would it mean exactly then? Techef, Matzilas Yadayim, Beracha. You just washed the Yadayim, so you have to make a Moitzi right away. What are you not allowed to do in the interim? So come some Rishayim and say, you know what you're not allowed to do in the interim? Catch this one. Unbelievable Kiddush. You never heard of this. You're not allowed to do what? I just watched the Yadayim. You're not allowed to what? You won't believe this. I watched this time, you're not allowed to talk. He have to Rishayim say, why not? What can you talk? So other Rishayim say, tackle this Yadayim Bracha. To which the other Rishayim say, it's the wrong Matzilas Yadayim. There's no such Gemara. And he has to show, oh, come on, that's what it means. It means both. And with those Rishayim who say it means both, so then Mechadish, a brand new din. You're not allowed to talk from when you wash it. The Yidam Ha'it's like, Mechit Teisei. Every 3-year-old kid knows you're not allowed to do that. But according to the Hefter Rishayim, it's Het HaGomor. L'choyu Dvar Me'olam. You know what you're really not allowed to do? L'chol HaDeis? For sure you're not allowed to do. What is that? There's Mechleikis between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. When you wash the Tilas Yadayim, when do you make the bracha? When do you make Al Tilas Yadayim? Come on. Al Tilas Yadayim, when do you make the bracha? Before or after you wash?
After. You get the bracha before and then wash?
Where do you grow up? You grew up in 5 towns?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You've been corrupted.
Yeah, I think that's what all the
Sephardim
do.
All the
Sephardim
do? They've all been corrupted.
No, dude.
What do you guys do?
Same.
Where'd you grow up?
A block away from here.
We need someone who grew up in the real, the old country. Okay. Ain't somebody that grew up here? Any briskas here? Any real Sephardim? True blue Sephardim? Okay, so we all know that the real Sephardim, what they do is, they do like anyone else would do. Call mitzvah, and you make a bracha first, do the mitzvah. And what do you do when you put on tefillin? You make a bracha first, put a tefillin first. What do you do for yimatz? A bracha first? What do you do for a shofar? So why do you make this dime backwards? Ashkenaz, that's right. They ruined you. So come many men to Rishayim and say, of course, you make a bracha first, then you do the mitzvah afterwards, which they say. And the Ashkenazim had a custom, though, you flip the order. Why do you flip the order? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that when a ger is miskayer, so he goes under the water first and makes the bracha afterwards. Why? Because it's not Jewish yet. So until he goes under the water, he's not Jewish. He can make a shek and shemitzah since he's running. So Gemara says, no, it's impossible the other way. I call it Sparach HaMov Lassi Yosson. What's the answer? Lays Breira. That's the Kachti Chachamim. That's the way to do it. So Taisus quotes two opinions. What about when a woman goes to the mikvah? So most of the Rishonim said a woman goes to the mikvah. She's Jewish. So when Joseph tells Nida, so she should make the bracha first, go on there afterwards. And the Taisus quotes an opinion, says, no, it's a low plug. It's since the Gerim do it other way, so the women have to do it. They have to keep universal standards of practice in Uchaz Brachas. That's the Machlekes. That's what the Sephardi Ashkenazim. So the Sephardi women today, those who follow the Sephardi practice, so when they go to the mikveh, they make the bracha ala tefillah, and then they go under the water. Ashkenazi women, so they go under the water first, then they come out, and then they recite the bracha. Then the Ashkenazim have a practice, as a, some strange practice, they go under a second time, in order to be a shtichel over l'siyosan. It's not real, it's a fake, because they're already mutaris after the first one. So I make believe over l'siyosan. And then they go a third time just for some other reasons. So I'll be kabal and whatever the cheshbon is. So that's a real machlokes Ashkenazim Sephardi, about AM is that. So I once got a call from a Sephardi woman. She called me from the mikveh. She was very, very upset. Not from the mikveh by us, but some other place. She called me very, very upset that the mikveh lady told her that the minig in the mikveh is you have to go under the water first, and you have to come up and then make the bracha afterwards. And she says that I'm Sephardi. For 20 years, I've been doing it this way. The mikveh lady said, you're in the minig ha-mokom, you have to follow the minig of the mikveh. That's what she said. So I told this lady that please inform the mikveh lady that going to the mikveh is not like davening for the yomid, that you are not mechuyev to follow. There's no such thing as you have to follow the minig ha-mokom to make the bracha. I said, a mikveh has a right to set standards. Let's say there's a machlekes, whether this is the chatzit, not chatzit of the rabbanim, and that mikveh want to set certain standards, and you don't want to follow those standards, so go to a different mikveh. But you have no right to tell them that if you're a minig, you follow the shukhanach. We're not going to let the shukhanach use the mikveh because he's not following your seder hadvarim, so that's nonsense. Anyway, back to this story. So by the Tilas Yadayim, so most of us, most of the Ashkenazim, even a couple of the Sephardim have joined the bandwagon, that they wash first and then make the Tilas Yadayim afterwards. So the post can point out that you can't be mafsik between the two. Because if you're mafsik between the Tila and the washing, as between the tila and the bracha, that's like a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah. We usually think of, I can't make a bracha and then talk and then put on my tefillin. That's a hefsek. I can't make a bracha and then talk and blow shofar. That's a hefsek. Whenever you do a mitzvah first and the bracha afterwards, you also have to be careful not to talk. So that's for sure. That's like a no-brainer. Everybody agrees. It's double pashat ad ma'id that once you wash the shidayim, you're not allowed to talk until you make the bracha. After you make the bracha, if you want to talk to then I'm not, that's what like Rishonim. So we look at chila, try not to. But to talk between the netila and the bracha, that's also holidays. That's for sure considered to be a hefsek. Remember when my kids were little, so I forgot which one of my kids, that they came back from school one day and they said that some of the kids in their class talk after they wash the tefillah shadayim before the bracha. So they said that that's the minig in their house. That's the minig. So that explains my six-year-old why. You know, you don't want your kid to become the Rebbe Tunis. Everyone's going to think they're the show-off kid. On the other hand, you have to tell them that they're Minhagim and they're Minhagim. So this is one of those Minhagim that's not a minig. This is one of those that's a mistake. Okay, back. You have to it's not so bad when it's one of the other kids in the class is doing something wrong. But I've had the case over the years of my parental experience where it's the teacher's doing something wrong. So sometimes I remember once one of my kids came home and they said that we learned in school all the things you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. They said, we were taught that you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to knead a dough on Yom Tov. I said, last I checked, Rusham, Elisha Ve'elach, I think that's the din, you're allowed to knead a dough on Yom Tov. So I had to maneuver and say, well, maybe you misunderstood. So I said, no, I heard exactly what the teacher said. She said, you're not allowed to make a dough on Yom Tov. So I'm it's not exactly true. Okay, back to that story. So Rabbi Sai, so some of the Rishonim say that you're not allowed to talk between washing your hands and the bracha of Amotzi. That's a violation of Tekel Tetzidayim, Tekel Tetzidayim Bracha. If you take those Rishonim and plug them into my Macharonim, now what happens? From the minute that you wash my Macharonim, what else are you not allowed to do? Besides not making a new bracha and having another piece of cake, what else can't you do? Can't talk. So do we accept this Rabbeinu Yehuda or not? Rabbeinu Yehuda had threw the curveball at us and said, I don't care what you think about his chadas. Look, partly. Learn to tell you something. Tomorrow's look, partly, says Rabbeinu Yehuda. I don't care whether you think his chadas is not a mechayiv of a bracha. But one thing I'll tell you is tekel tetzidayim bracha. If you combine that with those Rishonim who say that a bittel of tekef is talking, the minute you watch the game is over, you can't talk anymore. So how do we pass? Do we pass like this Rabbeinu Yehuda or not? So the Mishnah Berurah, Mamish walks a tightrope of this Rabbeinu Yehuda. Anyone saw the Mishnah Berurah? The 11th of the Ramah comes. So Rabbeinu Yehuda, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbeinu Yehuda. The second line, the 11th of the Ramah comes. Yesh kama poskim nisfilu, the ein isur lechol afa not al yadav. So even though there are those who quote Rabbeinu Yehuda, says no, yesh poskim mekilim. Who are the mekilim? Who are the Rishonim first and foremost who say that the whole Rabbeinu Yehuda is wrong? Who's the Rishon who never heard of this tekel tetzidayim bracha to prevent making bracha? Who? Tosfos. The whole Tosfos Mesachim deny the whole thing. Lock, stack, and barrel. So be yesh poskim this field the end is alech alaf and al yad rak shivrach hamayit v'tchila v'chein kos v'chorem l'hokel rak te'ach achilasai Yito Yadav Shenis, Sheit Smucha Netil Lebracha. Was the Mishnah Berurah comes up with a chap. We could have Rabbeinu Yehuda have a cake and eat it, literally. Pshuta Kemashmo. That's a good line, huh? What did Rabbeinu Yehuda, what was Rabbeinu Yehuda bothered with? Rabbeinu Yehuda says, Gevalt Keshrig, and you wash by Mecharenim, and now Gevalt, you can have your piece of cake, Gevalt, what a terrible, Gevalt, Gevalt, Gehefsik, and you're going to lose that, Techel Tzidus Dayim Bracha, terrible, so the Mishnah Berurah says, what was Shabur saying? Just do it again. Make a new mezonis. Make a new mezonis. Have another piece of cake. And then what? Get up and wash Rabbi Chorim again. And what do you do right after you finish Rabbi Chorim? Then bench. Efshlekaim Shneim. What's the big deal? It's pretty good. Not bad, right? How come Rabbi didn't think of that? Rabbeinu Yehuda thought that's a joke. That's not a fulfillment of tefillah and bracha. Once you wash Rabbeinu Yehuda, you're mechuyev to make a bracha right then and there. You can't make believe, let me cancel that, revoke that until Sedaim, take two on the stage. We'll just delete that recording and we'll start over again. He said, you washed Rebbe Kvenu already. Once you wash Rebbe Kvenu, the next word that he mouthed after me, you can't say, well, stop for another piece of habitash. We'll have some more dessert. We'll schmooze for another hour and a half and then wash Rebbe Kvenu again. That's not a fulfillment technique of bracha. So Mr. Brewer is not mitachais to Rebbe Yehuda, really. Mr. Brewer says that he thinks we could fulfill the din in the Gemara, not Rebbe Yehuda's chumradika version. We'll be yetzi it the second time around. And then the Mishnah turns around with a mamish with a bow face. And he quotes some Bachurim don't like it. But I'm very Allah, Chabash Shalom, the cult zezok to Mishnah Brewer in Yenachila. Valahavsik bedibur. That's for sure, Asur. He says, if you want to talk, that's for sure out of the question. That's such a funny Mishnah Berurah, because the whole issue of talking, we didn't really know existed in the first place. We stole it from where? Where did we borrow that idea that talk is a hefsek? According to that one day in Rishayim, that Tekel Tisnai Bracha refers to my Rishayim. So Mishnah Berurah says, I'm willing to give in that you could just have your piece of cake and then wash again and you're good to go and forget Rebbe Yehuda because you fulfill Tempest and Bracha, but if you talk, you can't do that. So what's my kasha?
Yeah.
Let me talk and do what? Wash again. What's the big deal? The same way that I'm going to eat another piece of cake and start the show over again, so I'll talk. It's not that. Why is my Yetzirah for talking any less of a significant factor than my Yetzirah for the extra homitash? The same way the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't really care so much for Rebbe Yehuda, but not so much for the Rebbe Yehuda's version. We like the idea of Tekel Tisnai Bracha. We want to be religious a little bit, but not. That's too chumra, Dick. So Rebbe Yehuda's chiddush that once you wash Rebbe Yehuda, the game is over. There's nothing you can do to rectify. You can't start the show again. Ad kedekach, the Mishnah Berurah a line ago said it's not a concern. So how come here all of a sudden he turns around and says that by talking it's worse? So in the Sharet Zion on the bottom, he explains to you why. Nira tam. Mishum dlo shayim bezeh shito yod of sheinis. Kevin shal ochaloid v'yad v'kiyos b'zeh homes achila v'yad v'tila en amal v'mayrid. Unbelievable, Mishum Ber. What did Mishum Ber just say? It's like a lumbus in clean hands. What did Mishum Ber say? Your second until shadayim after you're talking is what? Catch this one. It's not what? It's like a brisketeira. What is it? It's not chal. That's what he said. It's not chal until she died. You know why? Because your hands are what? Your hands are clean. So it's not taifis until she died. So you didn't fulfill the din. So Zavta Mishtabura, we don't think Rav Inyon is ultimately right that you can't restart the show. I agree you can restart the show. You can press delete and start over again, says the Mishabura. But that's only if the starting over again is going to be a honest fulfillment of the Tilsi Daim in order for the din of Tachlis Daim Bracha to kick in. So if you want to have more cake and your hands are going to get gooey, you know, what's the cake again? Then you have some good gooey, chocolatey, gookie stuff. So you're going to have another piece of cake and get your hands all. You can eat with your hands, forks. You can eat the herring with your hands like a shmak, another piece of herring. So that's going to be necessitate another Bayim Echranim. Oh, that's going to be typhus by Machrin. So the hands are filthy, smelly, full of herring, and they pass around a little bit. It's not vastly, a little bit, a little bit on your fingernails, like you know. So, toss it until she dies. But if your hands are perfectly clean, it's just that you've been schmoozing for 10 minutes, so you're going to lose out the opportunity to do that for this time, bro. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah is strangely enough, you hear this like for nafichu. The din that appears in the Gemara itself, that we were ready to learn, that we're about there on. The new din about talking that we never heard of until after Rishonim said it in a different context, that becomes the more important din. So I have two eitzes. How to get around this problem? Have we got any eitzes? For a guy who really wants to talk, he's got a burning story to tell. You know what we tell him to do? Tell him to make a piece of cake also. Make a new mezonos. You can make the cholodeus. Not the yod of we passing, you make a new mezonos. Nothing wrong with that. So make a new mezonos. Get your hands good and greasy, good and filthy. I got another eitzah. If you don't, you're ready, you know, add too much. You know what you do? You don't have to eat the herring, just do what? Just stick your hands inside it. That's all. Hamish, just stick your hands in. can you imagine, it's bad enough you see a guy, he walks over and puts his hands into the food to take. Yeah? I'm not even putting my hands into the food to take. I'm putting my hands into the food in order to create the hechatimtza, from creating a din for tech is not bracha. That's from. Now, if anyone dares and goes home for Shabbos and tells their parents that that's what we learned this week, that the way it's the hachmer, and you wonder why your parents call you flip outs. And you flipped out of your mind. That's why you stick your hands into the herring to get your hands to. Anyway, second, it's good for a special.
Doesn't he receive
the
master
even
for eating?
Yeah, he writes. Maybe. Anyway, it's interesting, fascinating. But what's more fascinating is that HaRabbeinu Yonah said it legamrei. And he dug out of left field something that probably may not even exist according to anybody else. And that became the much more serious concern. But again, you choose. So this Rabbeinu Yonah's theory in this thing. Never heard any of this stuff bechlal. We weren't, Tais was 100% sure what the din is, whether Hezkadas does create or does not. So, three possibilities. Either you take the view that never do you have to make a benching. None of this benching is the truth for anything. Not for the Tosidayim, not for Hezkadas, not for Shiri, Makhud, not for the garnish from garnish. Or you take the approach that, of course, Hezkadas is a new Mechai Bechsem Mazon. Or you take the approach is, it's not a new Mechai Bechsem Mazon, but the Tosidayim has that quirk of Tech Sidayim Bracha that has to be fulfilled. And how do you fulfill that properly, depending on the Rabbeinu Yonah or not the Rabbeinu Yonah? So we didn't finish the sugya yet. There's one last akuda that Tosfos talks about. Hopefully we'll have to pick up this tomorrow, where the Gemara says that when you're relying on the Reish Galusa's table, so Tosfos has a fascinating shaila about whether you're relying on the Rabban Shem's table. The Yom of Pesach coming around the bend, the guy who washed my machronim, only to remember that he hadn't eaten, brought out the Afikomen yet. What do you do at that point? So Hashem, we'll finish this up tomorrow this week. Try to get started the next sugya, okay?
For lunch.